reason for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world.
Faithful words of Christ, holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God. How important is it? It's ever true. It's ever true. Have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Amen. That's the only way we're going to get perfected is by the word. It's not by anything else. We can't buy it. We can't sell it. We can't make ourselves good enough. But the word will. If you'll put ourselves, we'll put ourselves in the word of God, then we'll be fine. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here. Good to be back. Brother Richard Wilson said to tell each one of you hello, and God bless you. Really enjoyed the weekend with him. And tentatively, the second weekend in June, they're coming down here. I don't know how much of their church is coming, but Brother Steve will be doing Saturday service, and then Brother Richard will be doing Sunday service. So we'll have them down the second weekend in June. So far, they said tentatively, so we'll just say tentatively, and then maybe some of them can come too, but we'll let you know, and we'll keep you updated on that. Brother David, good to have you still here, man. Good to see you again. Headed back home? Okay, all right. Tell everybody out there we said hello, and I hope we treated you well. You're not shaking your head? Okay, thank you. Just look and smile. Yeah. But good to have you here, buddy. Come back and visit anytime. Very welcome. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to, there's not much for announcements except this weekend coming up. We got the fellowship meeting at 3 o'clock. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us. I just talked to him a little while ago, and he's excited about coming. He always comes in June, and I'll tell you one reason why, because I don't think I've ever met a more humble man that's got the word of the Lord in his life and a testimony like you wouldn't believe than Brother Darrell. And I want to be humble like him. I don't want to be him. I just want to be humble like him. So I tell him, I said, you come in January and you get us all started right, and we'll try our best to be a little more humble. He's got just a wonderful spirit, and he's always done us good. So we appreciate having him, and thank you all the sisters beforehand and brothers for making the food for us and all for the weekend. So we sure appreciate that. So I don't think we have any other announcements coming up. We got some later on in the year. But anybody got an unspoken request? I know it's something on your heart. We've had a lot of things on our heart lately. So you just pray in your own way. And we'll just ask the Lord to help us each one. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for giving us a Wednesday night. Lord, we got up this morning, did our things, Lord, as humans. And Lord, now we come, Lord, for just a few minutes, Lord, to hear from you, Father. And Lord, may you bless each one that's here, Father. Be the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, Lord. Be the ones that are traveling. Lord, especially be with ones that are sin sick, Father, that you'll be with them, Lord, and stir the water, Lord, and bring them back to you, Father. We long to see the day that some of these faces that we've lost from the devil taking a hold of their life, Lord, you're greater than him. Greater is he that's in us, so we need to project that to the people, Lord, that we've lost a hold of, maybe, Lord, through different things, different ways, Father, that you'll strike their heart, Lord, and bring them back into the fold, Father. What a great thing, Lord, is to have a soul saved, especially one that we know. Lord, and I pray that you'd be with us now, take care of us, and further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still on the Son of Man. We're going to go to Matthew 24 in a minute, but I want to cover something real quick, being the first of the year. I want to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll get started. Because what happened was, what stirred Jesus to answer the questions there in Matthew 24 was what? Three questions. When you coming back, what's the sign of the end and one of the other ones? We'll read them in just a little bit. But they were under expectation. But their expectation was wrong at the time. But see, because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. So see, our expectation tonight and any other time without the Holy Ghost, your expectation will not be what a Holy Ghost-filled person has. Your expectation cannot touch it. Well, don't get quiet. That's absolutely. It's your life. The expectations we have is far different than we had when we were sinners. I hope. If we can't see the difference, then we got a problem. All right? But let's read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. You can be seated. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. But now remember, the deeper we go into God, if you have the new birth and you have a desire to go higher, this message gets more simple as it gets deeper. Because remember, even preaching water baptism is deep to people outside of this building. Everybody with me? But we have that established. That's our established foundation. So now we need to go on and see that we continue on with baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we continue on with keep getting baptized, and we keep receiving more of the Holy Ghost, all right? I mean, because there's many anointings. There's one baptism, but many anointings. And that's what we're looking for, because we're anointed people, all right? I read you that, Brother Brown, said prophetic people, anointed people. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, even the inmost depths of his very being. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, they know of God. They know maybe there is a God. But remember, the prophet of God told us the great deception in this end time. I'm talking about right now where we're sitting today. The greatest deception is that people are going to worship the devil thinking they're worshiping God. Read Anointed Ones at the End Time over and over again. Because it's the true anointing. There is no false new birth like we know it. There's false birth. But if you got the new birth, it's not false. But Satan's going to make you think you got a birth by even being in sanctification. You can be all cleaned up like Judas was. Judas had a ministry. He could preach. He preached the gospel and was happy that the devils were subject to them. And his name was written in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. That's what we were preaching on up there at Brother Richard this weekend. But remember, he was erased. He was taken out of the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. But there's an eternal section that can never be touched by even God himself. Because he can't change his mind. So that Genesis 1:26, man, God can't change his mind. That is his children and his progeny only. Amen. Only. That is not mankind. That is not the foolish virgin. That's not Moses, Abraham. That's not John the Baptist. Right. That's his progeny, his children, his genealogy. Right. That's his bride, his kids. the ones that he purposed in his mind he was going to have before the foundation of the world. So let us make man in our own image. That's a God that's not making us like we had a beginning. You do now have a beginning because of sin. But had there not been a fall, you didn't have a beginning. You'd just come right out of mind of God and be right straight on the earth. You'd be perfect. But there would be no Savior, no healer, no redeemer. There'd be no attributes of God other than husband or father. And that's it. There'd be nothing else. All right? So now that we are able to, as we were talking about this past weekend, you know, even the angels are going to be judged by us. And the angels fell. And they're going to be judged by, I was preaching on the book. We haven't got off the book yet. Brother Luis was still preaching on the book. And how that the book, there's not going to be a great big book and at the day of judgment, you know, that people are going to have to look down and find your name. No, you are the book. And the Bible says they'll be judged by their works. Brother Boyd, I do not want to be judged by my words. I don't want to stand before a judgment God, because at that time he is judge. I want to stand in judgment, not at judgment, because the saints will judge the world. Your book that you're carrying with you today, and I'm sorry to say, but they turn you down, they've turned God down. Come on, somebody. They turn you down, they turn God down. So that's why we're careful, as Brother Dick always says, about the fruit that we bruise. Sometimes we get overzealous and we won't tell them God sent a prophet before tell them that God sent his son. That should be the last thing you tell them. You can get born again without saying Brother Branham or God sent us a prophet, okay? Hello, somebody. You ought to be able to do that. That's what you ought to be able to do, is be able to tell. Brother Branham said, tell how your fire got lit. And that way it'll make them, Lord, they'll get warm and they'll see the Lord that you're serving. All right? And then tell them about Acts 2:38. Then tell them about these certain things of no eternal hell and no Trinitarian doctrine. And somewhere along the line, you'll either pique their interest or you won't be talking to them very long. Right. Something will come up and they'll have to leave. Right? But on the day of judgment, could it be that God says, hey, I sent you, Luis Urrego, to tell you about me, and you turned him down? Because they're going to say, where did we turn you down? We never saw you. He said, oh, yeah, you saw me in my children. You saw me in my progeny. You saw me in my Genesis 1:26. People that are on the earth now to finish this thing. There's never been a finisher on earth except today. There is a finisher on the earth today called an end time bride. That is the last immorphy of God, which is God in flesh in his people. All right, the Son of Man. Remember, the Son of Man is the only one that could tell who Judas was. I like what Brother Richard said. He said, you know, those 11, they were under the Son of God anointing after they got new birth, and they really still didn't. I mean, they finally figured out what Judas done because he hung himself. But they didn't know because they were under the Son of God anointing. Think about it. Only the Son of Man knows who the devil is at all times. Only. You can be deceived under the Son of God anointing. Martin Luther was, Wesley was, Pentecost was. Because listen, listen to me, say with any, a lot more than that, any false doctrine could not come from God. God may wink at it and carry you through that doctrine, but if you're a child of his, you'll come out of that. That's why the Bible says, come out of her, my people. So I want to ask you something tonight. As they were anticipating, they were sitting there. They said, Lord, when are these things going to happen? When are you coming back? When are you going to restore the temple? In other words, what are you going to do from this point forward? Well, he really surprised them because he started telling them Matthew 24. There'll be wars, rumors of wars. There'll be false Christ. There'll be false this. There'll be this and that and the other. And they're like, because remember Matthew 24, Jesus hadn't went to Calvary yet. All right, so he goes to Calvary, though. He comes back. Listen to me. He is resurrected in a glorified body, standing on a mountain with several hundred people, but all of his disciples are there except Judas. And they ask him the same question they ask him in Matthew 24. When will you restore the kingdom? So it went right over their head because they didn't have the new birth. But now see, it'll go all over our head if we don't have the new birth. Now, you can be in sanctification, and you can be even at justification, and you get peace in the parts of the word, but my heavens, you can't sit in the church 20 years and just and struggle with water baptism. Yeah, right. Struggle with this and that and the other. You can't struggle with that. That struggle's over with. But I want to ask you tonight just a couple of questions before we get started, because they ask him the same questions. But I want to ask you this year, what are you expecting? Brother Brown preached expectation. But what are you expecting? Are you expecting something to take place? Or are you expecting us to have a fellowship, a watch night service for 2027? This is 2026. This is the year of Jubilee, my friends. This is the 70th year after 1977. Brother Dale told us that years and years ago. Okay. So this is our Jubilee year. So what are you expecting? I like what Brother Stephen Wilson said. He said, our expectation should not be what time we're leaving this building, but what time we're getting here. Think about it. Run that through your head one more time. Are you coming in here expecting, and then a little bit later you want to expect yourself out the door? Are you expecting to hear something, and it doesn't matter how long it takes for you to get it? Think about that. But remember, you're going to be made manifest. You're going to be made known whether you want to or not, because the devil in this end time will be exposed by the end time bride, by the Son of Man ministry. And it's got to be through human flesh. It cannot be a tape player. Human flesh. This is all human now. But God's going to use that humanity, Holy Ghost plus the Word made manifest, the perfect Word of God, and he's going to defeat the devil with it while somebody's still alive. So what's your expectation for this year? Is it more than it is last year? Are you expecting to have another watch night service? Let me give you an example, because look, an expectation brings a reaction. An expectation brings something happening before. How many of your sisters were expecting? If you had children, you were what? You were expecting. Well, now you had to do something before that to be expecting. Something had to be revealed to you between you and your husband, wife, whatever. Okay? Then there's an expectation. That's why we say she's expecting. We used to not say pregnant. We used to say expecting, because pregnant was not a good word to say. So we'd say she's expecting. Expecting what? Expecting a baby to come out of all this. Are we expecting a body change to come out of all this? Or are we just going to keep sitting here and keep sitting here and keep sitting here? But our expectation brings a reaction. So we know this message. Now, everybody sitting in this building today has been in this message more than a year or two, or three or four. Yes. Maybe closer to 10. If you're not over 10, you're okay. But anybody over 10 years old, you've been sitting here since you was a kid, and then all of us have heard it 30, 40 years. So what are we doing? We must look for that reaction, but it needs to be the right reaction. Because the disciples wanted a reaction from Jesus in Matthew 24. They wanted a reaction from him. Right. When are you going to restore the kingdom? When are you coming back? They wanted something that they could say, oh, he's coming back. So he's going to destroy these Romans. He's going to get rid of them. No, he was just starting his kingdom, not ending it. Right. There wasn't even anybody that believed him. On earth, nobody believed him till the new birth came. Yes. Hello? Right. Nobody did. He was seen of 500 people after he resurrected. How in the heavenly days could somebody, I saw him crucified, I saw him put in a tomb, and 3 days later, he walks into my house and don't even have to open the door and ate fish. So he wasn't a ghost. Yet 500 people, out of that 500 people, only 120 took it to heart. The other ones, where'd they go? Well, I think I'll go fishing or I got a headache, or they weren't expecting anything. At least the disciples were trying to expect something. So I'm telling you tonight, find out what to expect. You need to be expecting something. So Brother Brown tells us, look, not when he starts out doing it, but when he begins to sound his message. When the message began was when Brother Branham stood that night on the first seal and said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a white horse rider. That started the thunders. That started the headstone coming down. That started the third pull. Amen. And what happened was a lot of people sealed it back up. But they weren't expecting what they got. They were expecting for Brother Branham to come back and them go into rapture right then and there. But what are we? Are we expecting the same thing? Are we just going to sit here and wait? No. No, we got to do as we were talking the other day. Jesus, will you do this? Well, it's time for us to do something on our own. It's time for us. If we're God made manifest in another form called the bride, we've got to trigger something to get us out of here. Amen. Because normal will not get us out of here, Brother Luis. Normal will never get you out of here. Normal has kept us through the church ages. Right. We've got to be what? Supernormal, supernatural. Right. Yes. So expectation brings a reaction. Listen, Noah got up every day. If not, he lost his faith. Noah got up every day for 120 years and expected rain to fall. Guess what? It did. Abraham got up every day expecting that baby. One day it did. Simeon, old blind Simeon, he sat in that temple for years, but God had told him, you will not die. He wasn't blind and was blind. He said, you will not die till you see the Lord's Christ. Every day Simeon got up. See, are we doing the same thing? That's my problem I have with a lot of us, all of us. Are we getting up every day expecting for there be a change beginning in our body? A change beginning even in our lives. Amen. Simeon got up every day in that temple, walked up, and I'm sure the temple was full of babies being circumcised every day, because it was only the eighth day and they weren't all born on the same day. So they were there every day. There was a line of babies to be circumcised. But one day Simeon got up expecting to see the Lord's Christ. Guess what? He did. So are we expecting a body change? Are we expecting to go out of here without it? I don't think we're going to know. We're being changed right now the other direction. We've got aches and pains and no hair and hair where it shouldn't be and all that other stuff. But listen, you get what you expect. If your expectation is to continue to be where you're at, then you know what? God's a gentleman. He'll allow you to stay right where you're at. But you will not get the full benefit of this age. Amen? We should get up every day expecting a resurrection. Every day. Noah didn't miss a day, or then he would have. Listen, how many times have we said, well, we'll do this, and then about the 10th time, we'll just kind of lose that, and it'll go off. Well, I'm sorry, I'm only human in this building. Right. And you'll kind of just drift off. And no, Noah had to get up every day believing it was going to rain, right, or he would have lost his faith. Same way with Abraham. They did not look at the circumstances. They looked to the what? They looked to the promise, the expectation of the promise. Well, our expectation was when that angel came, mighty angel came down with a book in his hand, the little book. He was delivering that book to John. We know that. But remember, when Brother Brown stood there, he was delivering the book, but he was the only one who knew what was going on. But it was for another generation that's going to pick this thing up and take it on to the coming of the Lord. Take it on and go deeper into God. Amen. Oh, you can preach sermons and make people cry. What Brother Brown said, Dr. Davis said, Brother Brown said, they cried. He said, I cried, they cried. And Dr. Davis said, people cry at funerals too. Right. Right. So remember, Brother Branham started out with a little bit of criticism. He didn't start out preaching like a house on fire in a windy day. He started out very humble. But what are we expecting? Are we expecting to hear something for God? Are we expecting to hear just another sermon? Come to church. When are we gonna get out? You get what you expect. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And we understand today that scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Just as Jesus sat there in Luke with that scroll in his hand, he closed that scroll, he handed it to the priest, and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They didn't believe him. No, they didn't believe him. But today, the Son of Man is going to be revealed. Somebody's going to believe that they're the last one. They're going to believe that this is it. There's nothing else. We can spend our time doing other things if we want to, but this is what's going to take us in a body change. Do not get it confused with anything else. Luke 3, verse 15. Now, what were the people expecting? They saw John the Baptist. They thought, said, are you Christ? John did not do one miracle. There was no sign that he was a prophet. Come on. He wasn't going to have a healing campaign. He had one job, introduce the Messiah. And when he stood there that day and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His message was over. Brother Branham said, I must do as John. I must decrease so that he can increase. That's why Brother Branham had to leave the scene. Because he couldn't, at that point, he was increasing in him. Now he's increasing in me and you. It's a many-membered body that's going to get out of here. Not one. Luke 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, what is expectation? It's anxious and persistent, are looking for something. You're anticipating something that's going to happen, or you're expecting something is going to happen. Amen. I'm going to expect every day now something's going to happen positive in the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to have your hip replaced. Tomorrow? Did you not decide to tell anybody about that? I didn't know a thing about it. Okay. All right. Huh? Okay. All right. Well. Okay. Yeah, but you're going to have titanium put in your body in just a few hours. Okay. All right. Well, we'll be there, Lord, be with you, but need to know about these things. So, but anyway, but it doesn't matter how old we get and how much we fall apart. That means nothing. Look at Abraham. He fell apart every day. None of you in this room are 99 yet. Well, except one. None of you are. Abraham expected every day to get up and meet Melchizedek and have that baby. And you know what God did? He honored his faith. Do we have enough faith to call God on the scene to call a resurrection? Not out of somewhere denomination. I'm talking about right here. It's going to happen right here. It's not going to happen anywhere else. Well, I mean right here, I mean in the open word, the open book, the open revelation of the end time. That's when it's going to happen. You cannot, if you're expecting it to happen somewhere else, you need the new birth. Because a new birth, listen, anybody that has a new birth and you hear this message, you might have got it somewhere else. That's okay. But if you hear this message and it crosses your path, you have got to come to it. Amen. You got to. There's no way. That's why Brother Brown said, he said, talk to the people. He said, if they don't accept it, he said, predestination's off. Right? You prove who you are. Amen. Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Which shall be revealed in us. Paul's dead. Irenaeus is dead. Brother Brown's dead. They've done their job. It's got to be revealed in a live person, a living person. It's going to be revealed in us for the earnest, what? Expectation of the creature or the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the world's calling for, is for us to come to a place to where, as Brother Richard Wilson said a couple weeks ago, you can like it or not, if the word's got to come through me, it's going to come through me. If the word's going to come through you, it'll come through you, and it'll be vindicated. Amen? You just got to depend on that. I depend on that too. But let's don't depend on a man. Let's depend on the man. All right? So what is our expectation? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. And hope actually is translated as expectation. Everybody with me? You're expecting something. You're hoping something's going to happen. But now remember, we're not creatures of hope anymore. We're creatures of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for. Expected for. Expected to come to a place to where the devil won't know what to do with you. Expected to come to a place to where the dead saints that are in a place of eternity, they're in a place of perfection, they're going to want to come back here. But they're not going to come back here with death reigning in our members. It's going to be a live group of people that says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Oh, listen, I'm telling you, this weekend, it fired me up. It takes something sometimes to flip that switch. But what are we expecting? Well, I'm expecting, you better expect one thing, growth and resurrection. Growth and resurrection. That's it. Growth and resurrection. Growth and resurrection. What are you searching for? Growth and resurrection. And the only way you grow, Brother Ram said, what? You become the word as you receive the word. You become the word as you receive the word. So if you don't receive the word, you don't become it. If you receive something else, that's why the church nominal receives a dogma. They can't receive the eternal. They may be given eternal life. I'm talking about people that possess it right here today, right here tonight. Those people on the day of Pentecost, they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul, and it made them different. It changed them. And the same Holy Ghost inside of us is going to change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But it's going to be what you have taken in. So let's be just for a few minutes. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. I just want you to understand something. I'm expecting God to do something. And Brother Brown said, ask for big things. So I'm expecting something big to happen. I'm expecting something big to happen. Listen, and this is what I told the people the other day at Brother Richard's. Do you know, this is very simple. If you want a short sermon, Oh, so you do want one. If you want a short sermon, you got to study. Are you getting me? Because what a preacher does, he has to plow through what people don't understand. He has to come over here and spend 15 minutes, and we do it anyway because that's how we're made. There's some slow sheep, and there's some fast sheep. Okay? But it's one shepherd of that sheep. Okay? So you got to kind of guide the slow ones, and help them along. But if you'll, listen, Brother Brown said, how you get closer to God? Study and read your Bible. If you'll study more and read your Bible more and come to church expecting more, you'll get a shorter sermon because I won't have to plow through all these avenues. Why does Aaron and Luis and myself, different ones, you'll be preaching away and you want to say this and all of a sudden you'll jump over that way. Why? It's not because we wanted to. You know me, I go by my notes. But sometimes, like right now, I ain't on them. I'm going down a trail, but I hope I'm coming back here in a second. But if you want a short sermon, you pray, you study, and you get some things for yourself. Then guess what? I can come up here for 35 or 40 minutes, and I can lay out what needs to be laid out and not have to go down a rabbit trail. Not have to. Listen, if everybody would come to church like they're supposed to, I wouldn't have to preach on it. I believe I will. I mean, really? Those are things that you have to cover because people don't do it. It's the slow sheep. I don't mind slow sheep. I'll go back and get anybody. But there's a time, though, when we've got to pick this up, quit going around the mountain, quit going the 40 years around and around. We got to go forward. And as Caleb said, give me my mountain. You know, remind God. Say, God, you promised me if I'd study and read my Bible that Brother Wade will preach shorter. Well, praise the Lord, it will happen. I'm telling you, it will. All right, so Jesus is, he's going out, and he left, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not one left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Now, we know when that happened. That happened when Titus destroyed Israel in AD 70, all right? They knocked everything down, all right? And as he sat upon the mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. So it was just them. It was just the 12. Judas was there. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? They were expecting something to happen. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? We're expecting you to come. And of the end of the world. We're expecting the end of the world. So they were expecting something. So Jesus, what does he do? He takes and he breaks down what's going to happen from the time he leaves. Come on, from the time he leaves, ascends, and comes back on the day of Pentecost, because he said, I'll go away, but I'll come back. From the day of Pentecost till today, right now, he told us in Matthew 24 exactly what was going to happen. Now, we know that some of these things have not happened, because the sixth seal is the tribulation seal. So we're not going, but we are under that tribulation seal in ourself right now. In ourself, you understand? Not out here. Do you think this is bad? You wait till the Holy Ghost lifts off of this earth. The only thing holding this place from going totally bonkers is me and you. Because God's not going to let this thing go wild until we get out of here. It might get close. The bomb may be almost touching the ground, but praise God, a prophet said there won't be no nuclear bomb hit the ground until we're out of here. So we may be going up as it comes down, but praise God, we know. We know what's going to happen. See, our expectation of natural things have went on, as we were talking this weekend, the Pope's already from the United States, so that's here. We're not expecting that to happen. We were. It's happening now. We've got a guy in the White House. They can go and pluck a president of Venezuela's not much of a third world country. They're pretty powerful. They plucked him out of his bedroom with his wife, flew him to the United States, and nobody knew it for 2 days. Just because they had a little something against him. Don't tell me that ain't the beast beginning to speak. Brother Brown told us that Revelation 13 was what? United States. Right? And that would be the image or the speaking for the beast. Well, we know the beast is already set up. We got a pope in the White House that's from America. All right? So that's, we know where that beast is coming from. All right? Everybody with me? So we know that. So we know there's somebody in power now that can make it speak. Biden didn't even know what day it was. We got a guy that knows where every president's at any day of the week for the whole world. But remember, Brother Brown said, watch Russia. The bear's just asleep. He didn't say watch. Everybody's watching China now because China's got all this advancement. And we owe China several trillion dollars. Several. Like $35 trillion we owe China. They're going to actually bring that in one day, and somebody's going to have to pay us off. We know he's going to pay us off because he's an American. And him and the president's going to get together, and they'll sign a treaty. But that treaty's signed, we're out of here. We're not going to see it, folks. We're going to see bad stuff, but you're not going to see that. You're not going to see where they're going. They may have to run us down. We may have to hide in a cave for just a little while, but we're going to be ejected out of this place. But listen, is that what you're expecting? Don't be scared, children. Don't be scared, adults. This is what we're built for. We're built for this. We are pressurized. You look at the world, they're going totally insane. They need, and if you go to a psychiatrist, that's fine with me. If you take drugs for psychotic stuff, you do what you need to do. But I'm telling you, it's the devil of this age is making you that way. And he's going to really hit hard on the believers. But listen, folks, get the new birth and trust that thing inside of you. It'll never tell you to put a gun to your head. It'll never tell you to do suicidal things. Never. I'm just warning you. It may get worse. I don't say it may. It will. I'm expecting it to get worse. And you look at the stock market now. It's over 30,000. 8 years ago, it was 4,500. You see how much people are investing? They're putting their money into stocks and bonds. If we go bankrupt, folks, then people don't have no money. None. You think you're safe? Your IRA will go out of the way in a blink of an eye. If this stock market crashes, which now it's at 30, if it crashes back down to even at the normal, whatever it was, 7 or 8,000, you'll lose your job. You can't buy or sell unless you got something to do with the church. Nominal. Everybody with me? That's something we need to expect. But remember, we're the only people that have an expectation to be ejected out of the Great Tribulation. Paul said some of this, you know, this light tribulation, I think he said, or light affliction. If he said light, sometimes we don't feel like it's light. I don't know if I'm going to get into this or not, but I'm just going to preach a little bit if that's okay. But light affliction. Sometimes we think, man, I can't stand this anymore. To God, that's light if you'll just look at him right. Okay? It's a light affliction that we have to go through. Because this world is, Lord, all you got to do is look at the newscast. You ain't got to look at no other programs. Just look at the news. How the craziness is going on. But listen, we already know that, so we shouldn't be nervous about this. We knew this. Like I said before, when the Pope was made come out of the United States, but all message preachers, not all of them, but a bunch of them started preaching on it. Why? We knew it was going to happen. We know California's going to sink. We know this nation is going to be absolutely obliterated. Wait a minute. That is if we believe Brother Branham was a prophet, which I do. And I believe he was the voice of God for the end time. But now you and I are the final voice for the end time under our prophet messenger. So we listen to what he says. So Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, he's telling them what's going to happen. Because remember, I want you to look real quick. Six seals. Everybody with me? Six seals finishes redemption. After the sixth seal is over, everything comes to a redemption. All right? Is everybody with me? Even the earth. But you're going through it now. Your sixth seal sanctification is going on right now. Well, that was way ahead. That's 6 months from now when we get to the sixth seal. But that's what it is. It's a disruption of nature. Brother Brown said it was those two prophets, which we won't be here during that time. But listen, remember, when we go through these seals, there's two applications. There's a natural And there's a spiritual application. All right? The spiritual application now is Jesus is trying to tell them, take heed that no man deceive you. What did Paul preach right before he left? He said, I'm afraid that grievous wolves are going to come in. And he even said, and they're among us now. Didn't even wait till Paul died. They were in the congregation as he was speaking. That's why I'm sorry. He was under the Son of God ministry. He couldn't discern that even, come on, even being a prophet. But he said he could look through a glass darkly. He could see something's going to happen, but no, not now, folks. Come on. We got 20/20 vision. We got 100/100 vision. We know what Paul was talking about. We know who it's coming from, where it's coming from. Jesus is telling us right now, take heed that no man deceive you. Paul wasn't there. He wasn't one of the disciples. By revelation, he saw exactly what Jesus saw, that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. But now remember, through this whole series we're going through, the devil never is an originator. The devil never has a thought that God don't have. God already knows what the devil's thinking. If not, he's not God. So he knows what the devil's doing. But does the devil know what God's doing? Because he's hiding himself in me and you. In a ragtag bunch of people that the world says, wow, they're just a bunch of man followers and women haters, and they can't do this and they can't do that. If you feel depressed today, you need the Holy Ghost. If you sisters can't put on a fine dress and feel good about it, I'm going to preach a little bit. Good about it. I mean good about it. That you don't have to cut your hair. That you don't wear makeup. Some of y'all ought to take that advice. Makeup is wrong. I didn't say that. Brother Brown said it, so argue with him. Okay? Because the deception is now here. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Folks, today, right now, 99% of the people in this world is deceived. You prove it's not. Only the Holy Ghost filled people are not deceived. And Brother Brown said, frankly, it would get them messed up, because remember, it says it wouldn't deceive the very elect if it were, it would deceive us if it were possible. So in other words, we're going to get right up to the edge of it some. Come on. But God's going to take us out of here before that happens. Amen. God's got this thing all worked out, man. We just got to get in the plan. I like what Brother Stephen Wilson said the other day. We were talking about Moses. You know, Brother Branham on Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he said God had a what? Had a plan and a purpose, and he was going to see it achieved. You know what Moses' problem the first time he was called? He didn't have a plan. He didn't have a purpose. He just had a dead Egyptian. He didn't know how to do it. He had to go to the backside of the desert. He had to meet God in a burning bush. There he got his plan and purpose. So you and I, that's what Brother Ram said, we've got to meet that same burning bush. It don't have to be a literal bush. It can be in your bedroom or anywhere. In your prayer closet, you got to meet that same God. And when you meet that same God, he has a plan and purpose. And listen, ours is different than Luther. Ours is different than Wesley. Ours is different than Pentecost. Our plan and purpose is to take the full word of God and become it. Not just talk about it, become it. Brother Bam said, look, and I saw when it opened one of the seals, I heard it was a noise of thunder saying, one of the beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow. Satan starts out with deception always. So I'm telling you, anything we talk about that's original, and I've heard people preach, and it's okay to say this, that the seals reveals the devil. I thought Brother Bram said the seals reveal Jesus Christ. Right. What it does is it exposes the devil, tells you where he's at, right, and what he's doing. Okay? Because he's not an originator. God is the first always. He was the first white horse. He was the first one to get on a white horse. He was the first one to have a white righteous church. You know, in the first church ages, that on every corner, almost, there were message churches. There was no denomination. There were message churches everywhere. All over Asia, all over that where Paul went, there were message churches. Then they started dwindling and becoming something else and branching off and said, well, I don't think that's right. I'm going to go over here. And that caused a division and a denomination. And God is not in a denomination. Because when the Lamb opened the seal, Satan had to leave. Satan had to get on his white horse and ride off. But he still, listen though, you still watch the deception though. Even though he got on his white horse, had a bow and no arrows, which was very deceiving, the Bible says a crown was given him, so they start calling him Lord. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Who did he conquer? He didn't conquer the Christians. He conquered the laity, which was the make believers and unbelievers. The true believers just kept on doing what they were doing. Everybody with me? That's why these seals are going to be, I want you to understand these seals, when we start, they are to be personal to you. I'm going to preach on me and you. Not that the white horse rider was the Antichrist. Because there's false Christ everywhere. But there's a real Christ. If you're the real Christ, you don't have to look anywhere else. If you got the Holy Ghost in your soul tonight, you don't have to look and find it somewhere else. You just need to get in the place where you can grow. And what? Grow and resurrect. Grow and resurrect. Because babies are not going to cause a resurrection. It'll take full-grown individuals that know what to do with the word when God gives it to them. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at something to take a hold of all of us, ministers all the way back to the back, and change us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Change us from 2025 to 2026. Everybody with me? Keep that in your heart. Write it on your refrigerator. Expectation. What is your expectation? We'll come to church a lot better if we're expecting God to talk to us. And listen, I'm sorry. Brother Anderson, I'm sorry, but this is the way God set it up. This is the plan and purpose of God, is to take and give it to a fivefold ministry, and they break it down to the people. That's just the way God said it was going to be, because that's the only, listen, are you with me? God saw that was the only way someone would be perfected. God saw that's the only way, or he'd have done it another way. He don't have plans like us that we change it. He can't change his plan. So if we get into that blueprint, that plan, it will perfect somebody. But we got to go through this deception first. Oh, don't get quiet with me. Satan's wanting to deceive you now. Right now, right now. But who did we find this fellow was, Brother Brown said? Antichrist. So the revealing of Jesus Christ exposes the Antichrist. Because remember, Brother Brown says, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. Well, here stands a lamb. Here stands the perfect one. Now, Brother Brown wasn't the perfect one, but he had the perfect word for the time. Everybody with me? He had the perfect word for the time. And when he had the perfect word for the time, Satan couldn't hide behind anything false doctrine anymore. Don't get quiet. Brother Branham preached 3 years before that the Holy Ghost was that person right there. I'll read it to you. I'll bring it to you when we start in the seals. In the Mighty Conqueror, he said that white horse rider was Jesus Christ riding through the church ages. But now, not after that seal broke. When that seal broke, he said everything. He said, thank God for the opening of these seals. He could preach marriage and divorce. Thank God for the opening of the seals. He could see why I hated those denominations so bad. Because of the opening of the seals, I can see that all doctrines are being straightened out. That's what I want. Because the Son of Man never, ever, 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 ever preached a false doctrine. And I know we have churches all over the place. But you can't have two or three opinions about this message. You better get into one and it not be an opinion. It be true and real. Because did Jesus say, well, sometimes I do what my daddy says, sometimes I don't. No, he said, I only do that what the Father shows me. Only. Only. See, he never had to come to a place when he was preaching the seals in Matthew 24. He never had to come to a place that, guys, I was wrong. No, he was explaining to them exactly what the Scripture says, even from the Old Testament till now. Because, look, the deception was in the Old Testament just as much as it was in the New Testament. Second Thessalonians 2. We may stop right here. I'll try to get to all these in a minute, maybe next Wednesday. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, gathering together, not apart, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, this is the first seal. Paul is telling us what's going on, all right? But he doesn't know it's a seal. Oh, come on, somebody. He didn't know the seals. He died before John wrote the book of Revelation. Okay? But listen, what he said in the 80% of the New Testament was what we need for the opening of the seals. But we needed Brother Branham's message to come and fill in and say, this is, if Paul preached this, I'm preaching the same thing. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not. Doesn't that make you happy, though? You got Paul. Paul said, you'll be judged by my gospel, that if an angel from heaven come and preach any other thing, let him be accursed. Right. And Brother Bram said, I preached the same thing Paul preached. Amen. So I'm here to tell you, he was saying the same thing. If an angel from heaven comes and preaches any other thing besides what the prophet of God preached, let them be accursed. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and we see that already happening. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He's not worried about the world, folks, no. He's not worried about the world. He's worried and opposed to the ones that are of God. Amen. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Or that is worship. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, church, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now watch. And now you know, do we? Do we know what withholdeth that he might be revealed at his time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, Brother Brown said that was God, he, God, letteth will let till he, the bride, be taken out of the way. Now that's what he told us. I can't remember what sermon it was on, but he told us exactly that's what that was. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, look, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Everybody with me? He's not finished. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not, he didn't say just the truth, have received not the love of the truth. You know, let me give you a point and then we'll close. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now talk about expectation. Just for a minute again, let's get back to that. when you were looking for a sweetheart, and you kind of figured out June was the one. Well, my expectation got a lot different than it did the first time I met her. I'm going to sit here till somebody says amen. Come on, people. Lord have mercy. You're lying if you don't say amen. Amen. But once you figured out she was the one, and she figured out he's the one, didn't your expectation change? I mean, we went out the first time, and I don't know where we went. Went somewhere. But the second time, whoa, it was different. Third time, well, y'all can sit there like a bump on a pickle. I don't care. I'm telling you, this is the way it is with God. You didn't just start loving God the first time you got, even when you got saved. You didn't love God in the way you love him now. If you don't, you're not born again yet. You know more about your mate now than you ever have known. That's why his wife has made herself ready, not the bride. We have transformed. There's been a bride down through seven church ages that have known a little bit about who their lover is, known a little bit about who they're worshiping. Come on, somebody. But here in the end time, full disclosure, Rebecca and Isaac go to the tent, and Eliezer goes away. But Eleazar had a job to do. He had to tell the bride, come on, somebody. He had to tell the bride what Isaac looked like. He had to tell the bride what Isaac acted like, what he wore, his favorite meal. Oh, come on, somebody. That's what Brother Brown came to do, and then he had to leave. Because Rebecca didn't jump off that camel and go running through the crowd, and where's Isaac? The Bible says she lighted. She lighted off her camel. In other words, she jumped and went straight to Isaac because Eliezer had told her, this is the way he looks. This is the way he acts. This is the way he talks. This is what he likes, and this is what he don't like. That's Brother Branham's job. He had to leave the scene because he's not our Isaac. But he is our Eliezer to tell us what Isaac looked like. We've never seen Jesus Christ in the flesh. But we are becoming him in the flesh in our many-membered body. So we're able to see Christ better, see Christ more in each other. That's why the great falling away, we were talking about this weekend, the Bible says that there will come a time when a sinner will not be able to even sit in the congregation. He'll be so condemned, he'll either get the new birth or he'll leave. That's why you see people leaving. Oh, they tell you they got the new birth. They tell you they got this. But if you leave the word, you've left God. It ain't me. It ain't Brother Luis or Brother Aaron or this building. But you leave the word, you leave God. Well, I don't like the music. I don't like this. Brother Brown said the only reason you leave a church is because your pastor is not preaching the word. Okay? Well, I mean, listen, we take every quote that we like. But the ones we don't like, we say, oh, he didn't really mean that. Listen, if he was a prophet of one, he was a prophet of all. And I'll take the whole all because all is what's going to get us out of here. That pleasure and unrighteousness, there's people sitting today that love the Lord. And it's the devil. I'm telling you a secret. Brother Brown told us that. Bible tells us they'll come in the last days and say, have I not preached a good sermon, Lord? Have I not cast out devils? I had prayer lines out the door. Healings, miracles, manifestations. Jesus said, I don't deny that. But you never stopped long enough to know me. You want to go do all this and have all this, you know, popcorn and lightning and thunder and all that other stuff. Come on, somebody. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Now, if you depart from God, you know where you're going? You're going to hell. So there'll be people that'll stand up and do that in the end time. Preach the word of God like a lark, but be off one. Listen, Brother Dale told us many years ago, he said, and even, I think even Brother Brown said, he said, one word got him out of the Garden of Eden. He said, being off one word is not going to get us back in. One word, you say, oh, well, you got your opinion, and this preacher preaches it this way, and this. You got to discern what's right, because there's only one right. Okay? There's not two rights. Remember what Brother Brown told us? He said, now, if you have two people talking to each other, he said, now, one can't be right and the other one wrong. If you're talking about the word of God, he said, either that or you're both wrong. You know, your both opinion is wrong anyway. Listen, your opinion is what's killing you. Your opinion is what's killing you. My opinion is what's killing me. But God don't have opinions. God has a quickening word. Listen to me. Musicians, come on. This comes straight from the mind of God. To a prophet with the mind of God that could go back into the back part of God's mind where nobody had ever been before. But remember, he didn't say, I'm the only one who can go. He said, let's go back. Come on, let's go back into the mind of God. And let's see exactly what he meant from the foundation of the world till today. Listen, if you really see this message, you'll absolutely be the most humble people in the world. That God would give you something so special. And then we just throw it here and throw it there, and we come to church when we want to, and do this when we want to, read our Bible when we want to. I like that new song that guy sings. He says, dust on the Bible, we got a new iPhone. Let's stand our feet. You love the Lord? He's good to us. He's give us a message of reconciliation to reconcile us not back to the world or not to a person, but to Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He's restoring us back as we speak. So what is your expectation? Do you expect to get something from God? Or you expect just to be here another year? I'm expecting for us to be out of here. And then we can preach it like it's already happening. But I believe it is. Brother sent me a message, that one brother from Pakistan. He may be watching in because he does every once in a while. And he said, is the rapture a one-time event? I said, well, I said, it's a culmination of an event, because your new birth, once you get the new birth, you're raptured. You're just not physically gone. But there will be a physical carrying away or a catching away of the bride. But when you receive the new birth, that puts your soul in heavenly places. That's what Paul said. All right? Resurrected and raptured in your soul, waiting for this old guy to get out of the way. And let the new man take over. The real you is going to take over, because the real you is the only thing that's going to be raptured. I'll guarantee it. It'll be nobody. You won't be. It will not be impersonated. Remember Brother Brown said, what did he say, the third pull? It would not be impersonated. The first two were, but this last one will not be impersonated. Why? Because we don't just think we're God. We know we're God. We know we're God made manifest in another form. We know that the bride is going to be made perfect by our ministry. Not mine, but our ministry. You got to find somebody that'll preach you to a body change. Not to preach you to a feeling or how much you cry and how much you just get red-faced. And that ain't got one thing to do with it, folks. It's a heart thing. Now, you can rejoice afterwards. Not a problem, but signs follow the believer. You got to be a believer first, and then everything will follow behind you. I wish to God, like Paul said, I wish to God everybody spoke in tongues. Isn't that what he said? He said, but now remember. What did he say? I'd rather speak five words of God than just thousands of speaking in tongues. He said, I'd rather speak five words from God. So look where he put his emphasis on. The Word of God. Sitting every day and listening. Sitting every, listening to tapes and reading our Bible. Listen, you do other things. If you got a ticket in your hand to go to the Super Bowl, you're an idiot for one. But you spent $50,000 for a ticket to just go see somebody holler. But you're expecting, man, what an expectation. I'm going to get to go to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is a drop in the bucket compared to what you're seeing tonight. Compared to what you're hearing and seeing through the ministry of the Bride of Jesus Christ, there is no Super Bowl that's any better than this. There's nothing. Coke's not even it. This is it. This is it, folks. There's nothing else. What do you expect from this day forward? What are you expecting? You're expecting God to do great things? I am. You expecting God to do great things? Amen. Well, let's get together and let's plow the field. And let's get ready for the coming of the Lord. Last night I was praying. I said, God, I said, call the names. I'm calling the names of everybody that I knew come here one time before and has left. You think about it. You think of the people you have fellowship with, been with, that have, I'm not talking about leave. I'm talking about go out in the world and just throw the message out. You better make them dear to your heart, because you may be the only thing that gets them there. So I want to make myself to where that my children will see Christ. And you make yourself to where your children can see Christ in you. Not take me to church and act like take your baby's children to church and say, look at Brother Wade, you need to look at him. He's the one. No. You start at your house. You start where you live more than you live right here. You live in your home. Your children watch you more than anybody else. And if you slip up, they're the first ones that are going to tell you. So let's be expecting, though, when we get up in the morning, we're going to expect change in our life. Oh, what a change in my life when Jesus came into my heart. You believe that? If you don't know that, get it. It's here for you to get. Get that thing that'll make you hunger and thirst for righteousness, not for unrighteousness and unrighteous living and all the things that you used to do when somebody else resided in your soul. Hello, somebody. If you'll get the new birth with the new man, you'll change, I promise you that. Let's sing a song.
Made in me a clean heart, oh God.
Is that your desire?
And renew a right spirit within me.
Oh Lord, let that be our prayer.
Create in me.
Is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting on us to come to a place that God can use us to speak through, to bring this thing back to its right condition. It will not come any other way.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
Restore unto me the joy.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And renew a right spirit.
Sing it to him. Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart.
Your desire
and renew a right spirit.
With
clean heart.
David.
Take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
He was longing to be right, but he just couldn't get everything right because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. But he had a joy of salvation.
The joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within.
Think of a man named David. He sang all these psalms and he looked like a man that was in torment, but then you'd see where he'd be dancing. He'd be worshiping God because he got a revelation. Tonight, I pray that we have a revelation of who we are and what we're doing here. And that 2026 will be the year that we really let it out. And let's see what God has to do. He's wanting to do it more than we want to have it done. But let's cry out for our loved ones. Let's cry out for the ones that are wayward, ones that are backslid. Bring them into the fold.
The mind salvation.
Do what?
And
think not thy Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, let him speak to you now.
Unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Yes, Lord, amen.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Remember Saturday at 3 o'clock? Brother Darrell Ward will be with us, and we'll have service, one service Sunday. Remember the meal afterwards, and I don't know who's coming, but we've told everybody we know about it, so just keep us in prayer, and we appreciate your participation, and we appreciate you as a church. We look around at different things going on in the world, and things going on in the message that at one time you'd never think it was going on, but it is already now. You know why? Grievous wolves, as Paul said, have broken in. But you just make sure you got the Holy Ghost in your soul. Make sure you cleaned out. Make sure that everything you do has a purpose toward God. Even your natural life. Hey, listen. If you're a born-again believer, this is not make-believe. I told them this weekend, I said, look, if some people that didn't know anything about this message, heard this sermon or the sermon I preached Sunday, they'd think we were crazy. Saying the things that we say, the verbiage and the things that we know that's truth. It's foreign to them. Let's don't let that creep in and become foreign to us. Let's renew it. Every time we come, let's renew our spirit, renew our drive, and take a little more time for God. And it'll be a whole lot. The services will be much better if we all come in here prayed up and ready to go and do what the prophet said. Come expecting. Come expecting something to happen. You love the Lord? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much. We appreciate, Lord, what you give us. We appreciate the building we have and the brothers and sisters that's in it, Lord, all the musicians, ministers, Lord, lay people, Father. Thank you so much for them, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them and bless them. Be with us Saturday, Lord, as we congregate again to hear our brother Darrell Ward, Lord, a wonderful, precious brother, Lord, that you've used mightily for many, many years. Lord, I pray that we'll all come to the place that you want us to be, Father, and that you'll give us a blessing, Lord. Just grant it tonight, Lord, that blessing will continue on to our homes, Father, and that we'll love you more today than we did yesterday, Lord. We pray that you'd bless the ones that are sick, Lord, that can't come, and the ones that are afflicted, Lord, with backsliding and all the different things, Lord. We pray that you'd go to them now, Lord, as the Holy Spirit is moving in the building, Father. Lord, each one, Lord, we have loved ones and different ones. We can send that anointing to those people, Father. And just pray for them. Call their name. Lord, you'll know what to do. You know what to do. And we pray that you'll do that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Me, Father, I appreciate.